Okay. All right, let's pray. I release your presence in Jesus' name. Come and have your way, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We thank you that you're here. We ask for you to increase your presence. May you be glorified by everything said and done. Give me words that are spirit and life, for you are the life. And everything flows from you and to you. Give us grace to glorify you. Yeah. Okay, you do have a handout in your bulletin. I know it's a lot. Just think about the other 20 pages that I didn't get to put in there. 5 months is a long time. But Ed has graciously said that I could take his spot preaching next week. Apparently he doesn't want to hear me talk like a robo-Bostonian, like this, you know? really fast, which I can do. Thank you, Ed, because I'm going to take it. So that's probably going to be a two-week message, so I don't think I'm going to be able to get through everything today. But what I've been wondering about for several months is the topic of abiding. And what does it mean to abide? How do I abide? How do I experience the presence of the Holy Spirit increasingly? How do my experiences, encounters with God, turn into a lifestyle? How am I transformed into the image of Jesus? How do I practice spirituality 24/7, wherever I am, whoever I'm with, and wherever I go? How will I be changed so that others will see and experience Jesus through me? How do I grow up into my sonship? How do I access being an heir of God and a joint heir of Christ? How can I release the kingdom of heaven here on earth? The answer is abiding. The key principle of life in the Spirit in the New Covenant is abiding. It's a quote by Graham Cook. And then I realized why this was such a big topic after I heard him say that. Are you guys familiar with Graham Cook, by the way? Raise your hand if you are. Okay, so a lot of you aren't. Okay, he is a prophet of God sent to the body of Christ. He's been in prophetic ministry for over 40 years. Look him up online. He truly, truly, truly will lift your whole emotions, your spirit, your whole being. You will feel like you are seated in heavenly places with Christ, and you are just elevated to live the life that you are supposed to live, and you really want to live it. A life of faithfulness, you know? He's got lots of books, he's got CDs, he has lots of videos on YouTube, little 10-minute ones, and then, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours. For him to talk for an hour and a half, 2 hours, nothing. So, and it's very rich in the Word. So I would highly recommend listening to anything from Graham Cook. Okay, so, and you know, a prophet, okay. Some people, that's a scary word, and prophets are alive and well today. Well, maybe not they're well, because we tend to get rejected a lot. And but they help us connect to what Jesus has done for us already and has released in heaven. And the life that's there, our citizenship is in heaven, yeah? So they help us to see it and access it, okay? So they help bridge the gap between what God has already done and where we are right now, and help us to reach it, help us to get there, okay? All right. And they function through the new covenant, okay? So it is through the gospel. So it has to sound like Jesus. What they say has to sound like Jesus. That is how you will, a good key of how you will know, right? Okay, so, it's a good plug for Graham. So, the key principle of life in the Spirit in the New Covenant is abiding. Christianity is a lifestyle. It's not an experience or a series of experiences. It's life. It's Christ's life lived in us and through us to God and for God. For God. You know, this morning I woke up and I'm like, oh, speak to me, Holy Spirit. Okay. And I feel like he said to me, when we feed on the right things, everything flows in our body. Okay? Jeff says, maybe you should meditate on that one a long time. But it does. But when we feed on the right things in the Spirit, everything flows. And that's a good, I think, analogy of abiding, feeding on the right things so that the Spirit of God can flow through us. All right. That didn't go over so big, but all right. To understand abiding, we must understand that we live in a habitation culture. We're not in the visitation culture of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. We are, in fact, a habitation of God in the Spirit. I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's in 2 Corinthians 6:16, and it's referring to prophecies in Isaiah and Ezekiel. I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We go to 1 John 4:13. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. We have now come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, in us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. So let's talk about habitation. If we receive Christ as our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ is living through us and in us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in us, and he's not going to leave. In the Old Testament, if you remember the structure of the sanctuary, the inner sanctuary, there was a most holy place separated from a holy place, or the most holy place is also referred to as the Holy of Holies. It was in the tabernacle, and later it was in the Jewish temple, structured this way. And in that place, in the Holy of Holies, was where God himself dwelt. His presence was resting on the atonement cover that was covering the Ark of the Testimony. And only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement to make atonement for the sins of the nation as a whole. The veil that separated the Holy of Holies symbolically separated a holy God from a sinful people. It was torn from top to bottom when Jesus died. This symbolizes our free access to God. The barrier between God and humanity has been removed. And you can read in Hebrews 9 and 10, about that. So the barrier between God and humanity has been removed. It says that Jesus entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Kathy? Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. So the old covenant was a shadow of the real Christ. The new covenant is here. The old covenant has been made obsolete. This is the new covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts. I will write them on their minds. Hebrews 10:16. We have a new heart, a new nature. We've been made holy, which means we're set apart for God. We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. We have been made righteous, right in our being, because we have Christ's righteousness. For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Yay, God! Come on, guys, this is like really exciting. This is like, wake up, man. Come on, holy, righteous, us? Yeah, yay, God, yay, Jesus. Get excited, this is exciting stuff. It's okay if you guys want to clap and cheer once in a while. Yeah, do it, do it. I am not going to be upset, I'm going to be delighted. Yeah. So God is not interested in going back to the old paradigm, in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant ways. It was a visitational culture, and he wanted to dwell inside us and live among us and walk with us. He's not going back to that, okay? He's not going back. He's already paid that heavy price. He laid aside his divinity. He left heaven. He lived a life without sin. He gave his life, his blood, his body to come and live inside of us. When we asked him into our hearts, he came in. Yeah? Yay! But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. Okay? So you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. Another way to translate that is, the Holy Spirit has been given to you by the Father and the Son. 1 John 2:20. The indwelling presence is permanent. The indwelling presence is permanent. And we can all access the Father. For through him, Jesus, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Ephesians 2:18. You can't have a habitational encounter with God at salvation and then downgrade it to a visitation culture in your experience. You can't do it. That's not my quote, that's Graham Cook's. I liked it. Encounters and experiences with God now have a significant presence upgrade or increase. It feels like, you're visiting, I can understand why people think he's visiting again, but that's not what's happening. The presence of God is increasing, where the Holy Spirit is coming on you, he's releasing up in you, it's still an increase. It's all an upgrade, it's all an increase, and we can experience it all the time. There are times, though, when his presence is manifested, and there are times when it is not manifested, and it's in a place of hiddenness, and he is growing us in different ways. However, he is always inside us. Yeah? Okay. So we live in a culture of habitation and abiding. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Okay, now who remembers this song? Know ye not, ye are the temple. Anybody remember this? All right, let's do it. Know ye not, ye are the temple. Know ye not, ye are the temple. Know ye not, ye are the temple. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Filled with what? Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, remember it. I'm singing it to myself, too. I'm preaching to myself, too. So, all right. Now let's talk about abiding. Hey, Jeff, when do I have to end, by the way, on that little clock? Yeah, but I know. What time do I have to end? I just want to know. Okay. Oh, I got a lot of time. All right. So I'm going to read this to you. I don't think I wrote it out, but John 15:4-17. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Okay. I'm going to skip down to verse 16, where it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Okay, so, definition of abide. It means to stay in a given place of relationship and expectancy. It means to occupy, to dwell, to live together intimately. The same word in the Greek, meno, I'm saying it right, but meno, that's in John 15 throughout, it's also used in John 14, 2. In my Father's house are many mansions, or rooms, and it's better translated, dwelling places. So Jesus has gone to prepare dwelling places for us. Yay. And we can inhabit them here, too, as well. He wants us to. Okay, so a lot of what I'm going to say now, it comes from something I've read from Graham Cook. We don't abide casually. We abide with focus, passion, and a sense of expectancy. In habitation, God guards our hearts and minds. He guards us through the indwelling Holy Spirit and the treasure that has been released to us. Every one of us has treasure, and the Holy Spirit is teaching us to abide so that the treasure can be spent on someone else as well as ourselves. In Jesus, we joyfully submit to his values and principles, which are the values of heaven. We are citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3:20. We are to be under the government of heaven. What Jesus' life touches now must bow to his authority. We are learning to operate in his authority. It comes through us by learning to abide in him. We are learning to embrace a vibrant partnership that emerges based on a lifestyle of continuous fellowship. And when we say, come Holy Spirit, we're not inviting him because he's missing. We are inviting him to take control of our circumstances. Another way of saying this would be to thank the Holy Spirit for his presence that is already here and ask for him to increase his presence. By abiding, our perspectives will change about everything. Who God is, who he is for us, who we are, how we see things, how we engage with people, how we engage with the kingdom of darkness, and how we engage with the situations we are facing. We will discover who God wants to be for us in every circumstance and how we are to respond. In him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Ephesians 2:22. So back to the question of how do we abide? That's beautiful, right? Yeah. So how do we practically walk it out? Having an intimate relationship with God. Read the Bible. Pray. Just talk to him. Listen to him. Wait on the Spirit. Be still. Say nothing. Just wait and try to hear his voice. Ask him to talk to you. Listen to what he says. He can speak to us anytime, any place, anywhere he wants. So listen. Have relationships with other Christians. Own and confess your sins to other believers who you trust and ask for prayer. Praise God, worship him with people and alone. Because he loved us and reveals himself to us, our hearts and mouths are filled with praise and worship that springs from him, through him, and goes back to him. He inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 22:3, but thou art holy, and thou inhabitest the praises of Israel. As we worship, it releases new revelations of who he is to us, and the cycle of praise and worship continues. I often think that's maybe what heaven's going to be like, you know, a progressive revelation of God, or is it going to be a full revelation, but all at once, I don't know, but we're always going to be discovering who he is, I think. He's always going to be revealing himself to us. Yeah? So, and that worship will just spring out of that. Practice the gift of tongues. In praise and in worship, if it has already been released in you, sing in tongues. Practice the gift of tongues in prayer and intercession. The Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will, and it strengthens your spirit. Continually seek him and an increase in his presence. He is our portion. He is our inheritance. So back in the Old Covenant, we talked about the priests that came down from the line of Aaron. However, now, we are the kings and priests. It says, we are the priests, and he is our inheritance. I am your portion and your inheritance. The Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Lamentations 3, 24-26. The word for inheritance, in its original sense, is a stream, a brook, a flood, a river. Jesus said, whoever believes in me, out of his innermost being would flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. That's your inheritance. The rivers of living water. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, John 7:38 and 39. So who is our inheritance and our portion? The Holy Spirit. He said it of the Spirit. So it's okay to experience him. It's okay. He wants us to experience him. He wants us to experience the Holy Spirit. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants us to seek to be filled continually, repeatedly with the Holy Spirit. The disciples and the apostles and the new believers were. This is even how they recognized one another and how they even came to believe that the Gentiles were actually called to this great inheritance of God. Was that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Do not let anyone or any voice from your past or your present or your future keep you from experiencing the Holy Spirit. Do not let that happen. We are choked in this Western church and in this Western culture with a religious spirit. Do not let anyone or anything keep you from experiencing the Holy Spirit. Do you see what is coming on me right now? Do not let anyone or anything keep you from experiencing the Holy Spirit. There is a doctrine of demons out there, and it says that the Holy Spirit and his gifts and his manifestations were for way back then in Bible times, and they are not for today. They have ceased. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That is the doctrine of demons. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Okay, calm down. He wants you to experience him. He wants you to seek an infilling of the Holy Spirit. He wants to fill you. He wants to. How else can you experience his love? How else can you experience his peace? How else? His joy. Don't get robbed. Don't get robbed. We cannot walk this life without him. We can't. We cannot bring the love of Jesus to people. We cannot release the captives. We need to be flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They reveal the power of God. And we need the power of God. We need healings. We need miracles. We need everything. Everything. All of them. And don't be content when you just speak in tongues or prophesy. Ask for all of them. I want to move in miracles. That's what I'm asking. Yeah. 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 That's right. Come on, let's go raise the dead. Let's do it. There's some of you in this room that God has given me revelations. You will raise the dead. You will. Because it's going to need to be done. It's going to need to be done. And it's just going to happen, and the love of God will come out of it, and people will be saved. Yeah. Yeah. You'll change cultures. You'll change nations. Okay? It's going to happen. Keep pressing in. Do not back off. You fall down, you get up, you go forward. Where am I? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Luke 11:13. He's the comforter, the counselor, the one called to be alongside, and the Spirit of truth. He takes what is Jesus's and the Father's and makes it known to us. He guides us into all truth. Truth is a person. Jesus said, I am the truth. So he allows us to experience Jesus. We need to experience him. Peace, joy, love, kindness, gentleness, and goodness. And the infillings of the Holy Spirit allow us to feel those emotions. Okay, so another way to abide in Christ is to follow the example of Jesus. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He withdrew from people to be alone with the Father, often and repeatedly, to pray, to wait on God. He did nothing by himself. I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. He obeyed his Father. He didn't come to do his own will, but the will of the Father. And when he was in anguish and agony, he purposed to do the Father's will. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Another way to abide is to obey Jesus. So listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and do what he says. If you obey my commands, you will remain, abide in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. And this is his command, to love each other. Ooh, that can be a hard one. Want something easier to think about? Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. I'm not going to try to figure that one out today. Okay, so another way to abide is putting off our old self, to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, and put on the new self, Ephesians 4:22-24. We no longer have a sin nature if we receive Christ. We have sin habits. Sin habits, and sin habits that can be broken. We have a new nature in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Learn about your new identity in Christ. His holiness and righteousness are now ours. Stand in it, walk in it, and speak it out. Speak it out loud to yourself and to others, and especially when the enemy harasses and challenges you. I am really sick of that. I am sick of him harassing me, and I'm sick of him harassing you. Find out what the Word of God says. Get scriptures on identity. If you want some, I got plenty of them. Read them, Study them, meditate on them, and speak them out loud to yourself. Ed's got it, gave me a nice handout the other year. Still have that, copies of it. Could give you an, I should get them up here, hand them out to people. He's created each of us uniquely and in the image of God. So find out who he's created you to be and be that person. Now I get to the best part of the sermon, and it's time to end, but we'll do it. Okay, all right. So the next way we have to buy is to cultivate and practice the fruit of the Spirit. And this is all material by Graham Cook now. Can I just introduce it? Okay, all right. Cultivating and practicing the fruit of the Spirit is a vital key to abiding in Christ. Okay? This was like a light bulb got turned on in me because I had been asking God, how do I abide? And then this, when I heard this message, it's a CD that I ordered from his website, the light bulb went on. It's like, oh man, I never looked at the fruit of the Spirit as a way to actually abide in Christ. And practicing the fruit of the Spirit is a way to abide in Christ. Can I just read the scripture? All right. Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Another scripture that's very much like it is 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter on love, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love, Maria. Love, what's your favorite verse, Maria? Love, let's say it with Maria, ready? Love never fails. Yeah. So, the fruit of the Spirit is a description of the nature and the character of God, and it is the nature and character of God personified us. And that is what we're going to talk about next week. All right, so...